In the Bleak Midwinter, by The Loud, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 41.
"We'll get him back," said Tom confidently.
"How?"
cried Bramble. That was the tricky part. Tom pulled his mirror from his pocket.
"Hermione,"
he called. She answered quickly.
"Tom? We have a problem. Please meet me in my office."
She arrived quickly and got the story, mostly from Tom, for Bramble was crying.
"Do you know who took him?"
Tom asked Bramble.
"Werewolves or humans?"
"Humans," said Bramble.
"So the question is," said Tom, "how can we extract Briar from the werewolf capture unit fortress?"
"First things first. Accio Harry's cloak." Hermione pulled it from her beaded bag and swirled it over herself, thus vanishing. Then her disembodied hand, holding her communication mirror, reached out of the cloak. She opened it.
"Briar,"
she called. She readied her wand with her other hand, but kept her face concealed. There was no answer for a little while, but then Tom heard a faint sound from the mirror, the click of Briar's mirror opening. Hermione aimed her wand through the mirror.
"Bombarda!"
She snapped her mirror closed, cutting off the sound of a scream.
"I'll make a new mirror for him when he gets back," she assured Bramble. "I couldn't let that one fall into enemy hands."
"But he answered,"
Bramble pleaded.
"He's alive!"
"I don't know. Someone else answered and got a face full of broken glass for his trouble. Anyway, I have some leftover stone-melting missiles that should still be good."
She rummaged through her beaded bag.
"We might need Eric to break the walls first so they can get through. Then if we knock everyone inside unconscious with..."
"Wait," said Tom. "We can't do a direct attack. That's a declaration of war on the entire Ministry of Magic."
"They're evil," said Hermione. "And I'm not losing any more friends."
"Of course they're evil, and they're bigger than us. If we fight them head-on, we'll lose."
"Do you have a better idea?" challenged Hermione.
"Yes," said Tom.
"Dobby," he called.
"Pop."
"Yes, master."
"Can you apparate through whatever wards are around the werewolf caps unit fortress?"
"Dobby will tray, master."
Pop.
"We're wasting time,"
fretted Bramble, pacing around Tom's office. Those Oxford bags had a lovely dramatic swish.
Pop.
"Dobby is very sorry, master, but Dobby cannot."
"We could use Eric to break the walls," said Hermione.
"I'm not sending another werewolf in," said Tom. "It's too dangerous. I'll go. First, I need to modify some of my business cards. The printing must look very neat and professional."
He looked to Bramble.
"Can you do it? Your artistry is superior to mine."
Bramble blinked.
"Business cards?"
Tom got some.
"They need to say Tom Riddle, dealer of quality potion ingredients, and I need a potion-themed logo, perhaps a cauldron with, I don't know, steam and tentacles spiraling gracefully out of it. Keep the rest the same."
"Tentacles?"
repeated Bramble. He wiped his eyes with his handkerchief.
"The point is that the cauldron should give the impression that it contains rare ingredients. I'll sketch something. Make it look neater in the finished product."
Tom hurried to sketch something with a few strokes of a pencil on a bit of scrap paper on his desk. He handed it to Bramble, who looked at it critically.
"The perspective on the cauldron's a bit off."
"Yes, that's why I'm asking you to fix it."
"I like your tentacles, though."
Bramble drew his wand and got to work modifying a card to Tom's specifications.
"I have to go change into my robes, excuse me."
Tom hurried to his room. When he returned, in wizarding business robes, he peered over Bramble's shoulder at his work.
"Oh, it's a beautiful logo. But I think the kerning between the L and the I in quality..." "Yes, perfect. Now do a few more just like that. 4 or 5 should be plenty."
Bramble obliged, and Tom put the cards in their designated compartment in his wallet. He made sure the other compartments were sufficiently full as well.
"How are business cards with a beautiful logo going to help us rescue Briar?"
asked Hermione. Tom had no time to answer. He checked in the mirror that his robes and hair were perfect, then threw a pinch of flue powder into the fire.
"Werewolf capture unit."
He donned a professional smile, stuck his head into the green flames, and saw a witch seated at her desk, writing on parchment with a quill.
"Hello?"
she said.
"Hello, I'm Tom Riddle, potion ingredients dealer. I'm calling in search of a new supplier for dark creatures."
"A supplier?"
repeated the secretary in confusion.
"Yes," said Tom. "I provide the rarest, highest quality potion ingredients to discriminating potioneers. I've been buying werewolves and other dark creatures from exterminators, but the supply is unreliable and often of poor quality. I hope you can provide the materials I require. How much are you selling werewolves for, per apothecary pound? The secretary considered that.
I'll find someone who knows. Would you like to step through?
Yes, thank you. Soon he was standing in a cramped office, grateful for his ash-repellent clothing. My card, he offered. Thank you, Mr. Riddle. She read the card, then opened a mirror on her desk. Mr. Piercy, a riddle is here about buying werewolves for potion ingredients.
Potion ingredients?
Came the voice through the mirror.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll be there in a bit.
Yes, sir.
She closed the mirror, then looked up at Tom.
You may wait here.
Thank you. The office had no windows. Tom suspected that it would be difficult to break into by direct assault. A door opened and a wizard strode through. The collar of his robes was a bit too tight around his neck, which bulged over the fabric. He extended his hands to Tom.
Martin Piercy, Undersecretary to Derwin McNair, head of the Werewolf Capture Unit. What can I do for you?
Tom Riddle, dealer in potions ingredients.
Tom gave Mr. Piercy a friendly smile and a firm handshake, then his card, which was red and pocketed.
Thank you for meeting with me, Mr. Piercy.
He repeated his speech about buying dark creatures.
Come to my office, Mr. Riddle. Thank you.
Mr. Piercy led Tom through a stone corridor to a windowless office and offered him a seat.
I didn't know there was a market for dark creatures.
Oh, there is. Amongst the more inventive potioners, just as some are researching the multiple uses of dragon's blood, others are researching the uses of other creature parts. The market is expanding, so I need a steady source of material to provide to my customers.
That's very interesting, Mr. Riddle. Thank you for calling. Yes, we do get a good supply of werewolves here. Now, what are they worth to you?
Tom recalled the retail prices of the various Murtlap tentacles, toad spleens, etc. available in potion supply shops, averaged them, and divided by two to convert to wholesale pricing.
1 galleon 15 sickles per pound is what I've been paying for werewolves of good quality, unless for poorer quality. How does one judge the quality of a werewolf? Whole, undamaged, and as fresh as possible, meaning they must be alive. Quality declines very quickly in storage, even under a stasis charm.
That price seems low when you think about it for such a difficult-to-obtain ingredient. We just got one today, lacking in a muggle area. It took 4 of my agents to take it in, and 2 of them were injured in the process.
And it already handsomely paid for removing this danger, considering the recent increase in your budget, but how much would you normally sell such a werewolf for?
Well, not sell as such, but
I'm offering a fair price. Do I have a deal?
2 galleons, 3 sickles per pound.
2 galleons even,
Piercy considered it.
Deal.
They shook hands across the desk.
Is this freshly captured werewolf available now?
Tom inquired.
Might be. It was transferred to Interrogation Cell 1 this way.
Piercy led Tom along a different dim, narrow corridor, the one bearing a sign that read Research.
Interrogation? Tom repeated.
Yes, if they know of any other werewolves, we don't want that information to go to waste, so we try to extract it from them. They give us leads on where to look next.
Does Veritas Serum work on werewolves?
Tom wondered aloud. He'd have to modify his plan considerably if Briar wasn't in control of his speech. Mr. Piercy considered that.
I don't know, it's expensive, so I haven't tried it. Maybe we should. If the flesh is contaminated with other potions, it's unusable to potioners, said Tom worriedly. It takes time for all the potion residue to clear, which is a great inconvenience.
Don't worry, Mr. Riddle, our interrogations were all done the old-fashioned way, completely potion-free. A scream echoed down the corridor.
This one's still lively,
boasted Mr. Piercy.
Nice and fresh.
When he got to the door, he reached into his pocket for a key ring, bristling with so many keys it resembled a spiky wreath. He tried a key in the lock. It didn't fit. He tried another, which didn't fit either. He gave Tom an apologetic look and kept trying. Tom responded with an understanding look, a look that showed he wasn't annoyed in the slightest and had infinite patience for Mr. Piercy to take all the time he needed with his keys. Tom was not bothered at all by the sounds coming from the other side of the door.
Just give us some names and I'll stop.
Martin Piercy,
gasped Briar's voice.
You think you're funny, do you?
Tom heard a fleshy impact and a disturbing gasp from Briar.
I want real names. Just name some real werewolves for us and this will be over.
Torrin McNair, gasped Briar. He's definitely a werewolf, I swear it. Aren't you supposed to write that down? I thought you wanted names. I'm giving you names. Please,
There are no werewolves on the Wizengamot, you lying beast!
You see, the thing is, I have no motivation to tell you anything. If you tried being nice to people, that generally works much better than... Ah!
Give me real names!
And then what, you let me go? You let me live? I'm a werewolf, not an idiot.
Now I'll let you die. Otherwise, there'll be a lot more of this.
Another scream from Briar made it difficult for Tom to maintain his patient expression.
So, said the torturer, anything to say now?
Then there seemed to be a third voice behind the locked door. For the next voice that spoke wasn't Briar's exactly. It contained none of the pain that had been in Briar's voice, and it resonated as if coming from some vast space, not the small cell that had contained the other voices.
That is not dead which can eternal lie, and with strange eons even death may die.
What?
Said the torturer, who seemed as confused as Tom.
Uh-huh, got it.
Mr. Pusey opened the door and entered the interrogation cell, so Tom followed. He didn't have to fake his look of distaste. Briar was chained in the middle of the room, at least. Tom assumed it was Briar from the voice he'd heard earlier, and the snark it had contained, but his face was bruised and bloody beyond recognition, and only rags were left of his once stylish muggle clothes. A table to the side held instruments that Tom didn't want to look at. There was no sign of the source of the third voice. The torturer snapped to attention.
Mr. Pusey, I was just about to get some information from...
Interrupt. You didn't sound very successful, said Mr. Pusey. No matter. We can still sell this one for potions ingredients.
Sir?
Asked the torturer. Tom inspected the goods critically. It's damaged. I pride myself on providing quality ingredients to my customers. At least 20% of this one is too damaged to use. Look at this blood on the floor, completely wasted. No potion here would buy werewolf blood mixed with dirt. He looked away from the sickening sight, although Mr. Pusey's face was also sickening in a different way. The price we negotiated was for a whole intact werewolf. If you expect to sell this one at all, it must be at a discount. Why, you have to understand, it's the nature of the business that there's going to be some damage during capture. This didn't happen during capture, observed Tom. I'd hoped to find a reliable source of material, but if this is your typical quality...
It isn't, not at all,
Mr. Pusey assured him. Forget this one, I'll get a better one for you. Assuming I come back, said Tom. I see now that the quality of your product does not suit my needs. I'm sorry to have wasted your time. He turned and was almost free of the chamber of horrors when Mr. Pusey called,
Half price!
Tom paused. That was a deeper discount than he'd been expecting, but perhaps Mr. Pusey had chosen the simplest possible maths. A galleon of pound? He considered it. We have a deal, although I do hope the next one is of better quality. Oh, it will be, Mr. Pusey assured him. He looked at Briar worriedly. I don't think we have a scale.
Estimate 150 pounds, said Tom.
So 150 galleons.
Sounds about right, so we have a deal.
The monster held out his hand, so Tom had to shake it again. Tom counted the cash out of his wallet, 15 stacks of 10 galleons each. There was nowhere to set it but the table of instruments he didn't want to look at, but Mr. Pusey was happy to put the money directly into a pocket of his robes.
So whenever you're ready, we can kit it for you.
And how do you transport it? Asked Mr. Pusey.
You're not killing it, said Tom scornfully.
It must be live when the organs are harvested, and I can transport it by flu, the same way I arrived.
I'm afraid we can't allow that, Mr. Riddle, said Mr. Pusey. You see, we go to the trouble to capture these werewolves, and we can't just let them out alive. If it got loose,
it won't get loose, scoffed Tom. He drew his wand and aimed it at Briar, who was breathing hard and shaking.
Imperio, Tom cast.
Please, please play along, Briar. Briar stopped shaking and his breath steadied. He adopted a blissful expression, or as close to it as his bruised face could manage.
Unchain it, commanded Tom.
At a nod from Mr. Pusey, the torturer rushed to obey. Soon an obedient Briar flew to the Riddle House. When Tom followed, he had to sidestep quickly to avoid tripping over Briar, who was collapsed on the floor, with Bramble, Hermione and Dobby crowded around him. Hermione and Dobby were healing Briar while Bramble embraced him and wept.
I'm so sorry, cried Bramble. It's all my fault. I rushed you out before you had time.
Shh, my love, said Briar. It's my own fault for forgetting.
Tom went to the lavatory to wash the hand that had shaken the hand of Mr. Pusey. This took a while. Then he returns to his office, for there were records to keep. 150 galleons to be recorded in the expenses column in the ledger on his desk. Pusey hadn't offered him a receipt, as Tom hadn't thought to ask, which was a mistake, as it seemed unprofessional, but Pusey hadn't complained. Tom assumed that those 150 galleons would never see the inside of the werewolf capture unit's coffers. Perhaps the torturer had got a cut as well. Tom's wallet needed refilling for the next time some corrupt official needed an outrageous bribe to prevent him from killing one of Tom's friends. At last, Tom could delay no longer. "I'm sorry." The others looked at him with surprised expressions. Briar had been transferred to the fainting couch and was no longer bleeding, and his bruises looked older. Bramble was no longer crying, although he still clung to Briar, letting go of whatever part Dobby and Hermione wanted to heal, only to cling to another part.
"For what?"
asked Hermione before turning back to Briar.
"I was wrong," said Tom. "You were right. We should have blasted that whole place out of existence."
"Sure way worked," said Hermione. "You just strolled in and bought him."
"I'm worth 150 galleons reduced," said Briar giddily.
He wanted a laugh that didn't sound quite sane.
"Scratch and dent discount. You ever paid though, Tom? I weigh just a bit over 10 stone.
"My overestimate was intentional," said Tom. "I wanted Pusey to think he got a good deal."
"We'll pay you back," said Bramble.
"Don't be ridiculous," said Tom.
"Yes, he'll make a profit once he sells me to potioners by the pound," laughed Briar.
"It was the best story I could think of," cried Tom. "And now hopefully they won't torture the next werewolf they capture if they think it will cut into their profits."
"I don't blame you for haggling," said Bramble. "You can't keep losing so much money on us. You'll run out eventually, and then this whole project—"
"We can afford it," said Tom.
"I'll pay whatever's necessary to free however many werewolves they capture, although I appreciate your efforts to minimize the number I have to buy, as I'd rather Pusey not get rich from this. Our muggled investments are doing well and can fund this operation indefinitely. There's no need to concern yourself about the Riddle family's finances."
Tom took no apparent notice of the look Hermione gave him.
Jackpot.
"I owe you a life debt," said Briar.
"That's even more ridiculous than the thought of you owing me money," said Tom.
"You work for me. I was merely doing what needed to be done to ensure the continued utility of one of my employees. I can't acquire a life debt by acting completely in my own self-interest."
"But," Briar had trouble speaking.
"I'm useless now. They snapped my wand right in front of me. Only humans are allowed wands," they said.
"We'll get you another one," said Bramble. "As soon as I recovered, we'll go to—"
He trailed off. "The new anti-werewolf wards in Diagon Alley complicate things, admittedly," said Tom. "But I'm sure we can find—"
"Back your spare ones," cast Hermione, reaching deep into her beaded bag. "Something here might work for you."
She offered Briar a handful of scratched and chipped wands, one had a crack so deep the unicorn hair shone through.
"Thanks," said Briar.
He took a deep breath and reached for a wand.
"Limus," he tried.
Everyone looked at the dull brown wood, not glowing. Briar put the wand down and tried another. This produced a faint glow, which was encouraging but not ideal. He picked up another, but dropped it immediately as if it had given him an electric shock.
"That one doesn't like anyone," Hermione assured him.
"I can tell."
Briar tried another. It produced a harsh bluish light that flickered annoyingly. He tried another and another until he'd tried everything. Nothing worked to his satisfaction.
"This was the best of the lot," said Hermione,
offering Briar the one that had glared and flickered. He looked at it dejectedly.
"I have no finesse with this one," he said, extending a reluctant hand to it, "but beggars can't—"
"Try mine,"
urged Tom, drawing it and offering it hilt first. Briar stared.
"You can't be serious."
"I can just stroll into Ollivander's and buy a new one more easily than I bought you. It's a minor inconvenience. Try it. If it works for you, it's yours."
Briar hesitantly took it.
"Limus," he tried.
He got a faintly orange, arrhythmically throbbing glow.
"Nox,"
he handed it back.
"I appreciate the thought, but it doesn't look any better for me than some of these others, so—"
"You need to win its allegiance," realized Tom.
"You need to defeat me."
Briar let out a sad little laugh.
"And I can't defeat anyone without my wand, so—"
"Think, man," scolded Tom. "You have more skills than just your ability to wield a wand."
"You could punch Tom in the face," suggested Hermione.
Tom cast an annoyed glance at her. He'd been thinking more along the lines of a flower-arranging competition, since he suspected that Briar's skill at that was superior to—
Ow!
He dropped his wands to put his hands to his face and was horrified at the way a bone in his nose clicked loosely.
Episky?
Hermione cast. Then she turns to Briar.
Did it work?
My nose feels straight again, answered Tom.
But does it look the same?
He hurried to the mirror. Behind him, everyone cheered, which was a heartwarming show of support for the restored perfection of Tom's nose, but no, when he turned away from the mirror, everyone was looking at Briar's wand, illuminating his smile with a steady white light.
I'm glad that worked, said Tom, but this isn't sustainable.
The others stopped cheering and looked at him.
Wands is fine, but I can't buy a new wand from Ollivander every time I rescue a werewolf, Tom explained. Ollivander might not like repeatedly selling wands to someone so careless as to keep losing or breaking them, needing such frequent replacement.
And he remembers every wand he's ever sold, said Hermione. So if wands he sold to us are discovered in the hands of recaptured werewolves...
How many werewolves do you plan to buy?
Asked Bramble.
As many as necessary, said Tom. Until the werewolf capture unit is disbanded. I gave Pusey my card and asked him to flu call me about any other werewolves he has for sale.
I could buy a wand, said Hermione.
Say I want to compare British wands to Australian ones?
Ignis still talks to his family, said Bramble.
Maybe they could funnel wands to werewolves?
We'll manage something, said Tom. If the job is spread out among enough people, we should evade suspicion. Another disturbing thought occurred to him.
Getting some werewolves out will be trickier, as if they don't know me, they won't know to play along with my fake Imperius, so...
You'll have to cast a real one. Realized Briar in horror.
I'll do it,
volunteered Hermione. Tom protested.
I can't ask you to cast an unforgivable...
It's only illegal to cast unforgivables on humans, said Hermione.
Werewolves aren't legally human, so there's no problem.
Legality isn't our guide when the law is wrong, said Tom.
That's dark magic, said Briar.
The damage to your soul of a time.
It's fine, said Hermione. I'm used to dark magic. Tom's just squeamish about doing his own dirty work.
Tom couldn't really argue with that.
For the text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 and fanfiction.net pages of The Loud. The music is Shy by the New Orleans Trio. For more stories that I have recorded, visit my website at samgabrielvo.com. There you can find a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.